When I was in seminary, besides our classes and our duties at the seminary, each seminarian was assigned some sort of apostolate or some sort of apostolic outreach. We would do community service of different ways that would kind of make us grow, different capacities for ministry. We would give tours or we'd go visit the hospital, nursing homes. And one thing that I was privileged to do was I spent some time with the Missionaries of Charity, the religious order that Mother Teresa founded. Mother Teresa, I'm sure as most of you know, started her religious order in the 1950s. By the 1960s, she was able to expand out of India. And then finally in the 1980s, she formed two houses in Rome. And actually a couple of our priests were able to work with her when they were studying as seminarians over in Rome. What I loved about the Missionaries of Charity was I saw that they had incredible charity for their work, which sounds obvious. Their work was difficult. It was really hard. You guys have seen pictures of Mother Teresa. You know what type of situations she was working with. She was taking care of people who had no one else to take care of. And she was doing it joyfully. She was doing it with a lot of charity. And I learned a lot from them. I love these little sisters. Almost all of them were less than 5 feet tall, less than 100 pounds, and they would all boss me around with the little bit of English that they had. They would tell me how to chop vegetables and how to wash clothes. And I would always ask them a lot of questions, and it was great that English was their universal language. So depending on how long they've actually been in the religious order, they knew more or less English. And I would always ask them, you know, how are you able to do what you do? I come here for a couple hours a week, if that, and I struggle in being able to do this. And you do this all the time, and you're way more joyful than I am. And they would tell me that the way that they're able to do this is that it all starts in the chapel. My first day with them, when they kind of had an initiation with us, they brought us all into the chapel. They have the very, very small chapel. And there was this little Missionary of Charity who was sitting on the floor. And as we walked in, she was watching all of us. We'd all genuflect. And one of my classmates kind of lazily genuflected. And she just kept staring at him. And before she started with the initiation, she went up to him and she said, "To whom do you genuflect to? What are you doing? Why do you come in here and you're just lazy with your genuflection?" And it was a great reminder that she had the correct priorities in her life, that she understood who she was genuflecting to. She understood who the source of her energy was and how she was able to do her work. Now, the reason that I was thinking about this in preparation for this weekend's homily, the reason I was thinking about this had to do with the first reading, that God tells Moses to take his sandals off, that he's standing on holy ground. And it brought me back to my time at the Missionaries of Charity because they always take off their sandals whenever they go into their chapel. They all sit there barefoot. There's no chairs in there. They all just kind of sit on the floor. And it was a really amazing experience. But to be quite honest, there was another reason that it came to me. I saw that their prayer became kind of like a burning bush. That oftentimes we look at our day as, you know, divided up by 24 hours, and we see, you know, when I'm doing this over here, then it's taking me away from this over here. And a common argument against them may be, why do you spend so much time in prayer? Couldn't that time be spent better helping the poor? There's more poor that are being neglected because you're spending your time in prayer. And that may be true, but I say that their prayer is like a burning bush. Their prayer doesn't consume their time. It only adds to it. That what the Missionaries of Charity were able to teach me was that time given to God is not time taken away from other things. That when we do take this time to pray throughout the day, this time to go to Mass on Sunday, whatever it is, time with your family can be seen as prayer, that time is not taken away from other things. that that's time for God. And it isn't consumed. Now that may be strange, may not understand how that actually works, but I think there's even more in the story of Moses that helps us understand that. The name that God gives Moses is I Am. And actually, in the story, in the gospel, in the longer form, Jesus actually calls himself that. He calls himself I Am, meaning he's associating himself with the Father. The reason that I say that that's important is because that word in Hebrew, I Am, does not have a tense associated to it. So when we hear I Am, that's in the present tense. But the way in which God used it did not have a tense attached to it, did not have a past, did not have a present, did not have a future. So when we hear it, what we really should say is not just I Am, but what it should be is I was, I am, I will be. More importantly, he is being itself. He is that which gives us life. That which gives us life does not take away from time. What takes away from time right now with me is material things, physical things, being places, things. Watching a lot of March Madness right now consumes a lot of my time. But being itself does not take away from what we actually do. And that's why time given to God is not time taken away from other things. That the missionaries of charity, and what they taught me was that Mother Teresa never, ever would have been able to do the work that she did if it wasn't for her time in prayer. That it was only because of her time in prayer that she was able to do what she did. And the same can be true for us. We may not be doing the same type of work that Mother Teresa is. We may have a common desk job. But there are really two things from this that we can learn. The first is that prayer will never consume our time. Prayer will never consume our time. It'll only add to it. The time given to God is not time taken from other things. And the second thing is that we can become inspirations to others. Just as the burning bush was an inspiration to Moses, just as the missionaries of charity were an inspiration to me, so may you be an inspiration to your coworkers, to your family. That if they see you're taking this time for God, you will be an inspiration to them as well. So in these last couple weeks of Lent, let us understand how our prayer can become a burning bush. How time given to God is not time taken away from other things. And we can understand the true source and the power of our strength and where it comes from and where we need to give it glory.